Today's topic, can you walk on water? The scriptures say that Peter did. Here's the account from the book of Matthew, Matthew 14, verses 22 through 33. And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, It is a spirit. And they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And he said, Come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him, and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. Then they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, Of a truth, thou art the Son of God. What does this story mean for us today? Do you feel as if you are drowning in paperwork, flooded with confusing messages, slipping into stressful situations, or losing ground as you're faced with the pressure of daily life? Are you struggling just to keep your head above water? Have you ever wished you could rise above a difficult situation or that you could walk confidently in your beliefs? Being able to literally walk on top of a body of water will not help us deal with these feelings. Fortunately, God has something else in mind. The stories recorded in the Bible are more than just stories about people that lived a long time ago. They have spiritual applications for our lives today. Paul wrote, Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. That's in 1 Corinthians 2:13. We do not battle literal waves and storms, but we do have spiritual battles to fight. So let's look at the spiritual understanding of the natural events in this story. Let's start with verse 24. Verse 24 says, But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with the waves, for the wind was contrary. So let's look at the symbolism of these individual ideas. The ship is symbolic of an entity. In the scriptures, Isaiah 23:14 gives us a key about this. Here, this ship is in the midst of the sea, or spiritually, in the midst of the sea of humanity, as Revelation 17:15 tells us. So this ship is symbolic of us, living in the world among all kinds of doctrines, messages, and ideas. This ship is being tossed with waves. Waves represent entities also. Jude 1:13 gives us this key that false prophets are called raging waves of the sea. These are people in the world teaching out their own doctrines, which cause confusion in the minds of people that are seeking truth. We also have the wind. The wind was contrary. Ephesians 4:14 warns us against being tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine. This is what happens to the ship or entities in the sea of humanity. The conflicting ideas and opinions that we hear cause us to be unstable or unsure in our beliefs. Jesus was teaching them the truth, but they were still affected by the false doctrines of the religious leaders and people of the day. So the apostles' minds were still being tossed in the sea of humanity, much like us. Verse 25 tells us that in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. And then 26, when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, It is a spirit. And they cried out for fear. So the disciples saw Jesus walking on the sea. Well, this shows Jesus had his way of thinking and living above the sea of humanity. He could spiritually walk above the evil and lesser ways of mankind that were working in the world around him. For another scripture on that, look at Isaiah 55, verses 8 and 9. So the disciples cried out. They said it was a spirit, and they cried out for fear. The disciples were afraid because they thought that they were seeing an evil spirit. Another scripture about an evil spirit is in Luke 24:37. 27 of this chapter says, But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. So Jesus speaks good words to comfort them. And in 28, Peter answered and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me to come unto thee on the water. Well, this shows that Peter had a little more faith than the rest of the disciples because he at least asked to come out on the water. We see the doubt, however, when he says, If it be thou. We are much like Peter when we're faced with a new situation in our lives. We want to trust God when we hear that his words, that they can witness to our soul. But we have been tossed around by many false hopes and led down so many wrong paths that we wonder if it really is God that's calling to us. Verse 29 says, And he said, Come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. So, what do we get from this verse? Well, Jesus says, Come on out, exercise your faith. And what happens? Peter walks on the water. When we have our eyes on Christ, which means to focus our faith on his teachings, we too can walk above the sea of humanity, spiritually, as in 1 Peter 2:21, and you might also want to read Ephesians 4:17 on this topic. We can rise above the doubt and fear that has dragged us down. Verse 30, But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. So what do we get from this verse? But. Those three little letters often cause a lot of problem. They did for Peter. He let his faith get eaten up by doubt and fear. Well, we hear the same thoughts in our mind. But I could never do that. But I can't give that up. But I'll never be strong enough to overcome that. But I've always been this way. I can't change. When we focus on wrong ideas that we have been taught or look back at the world, the doubts and fears come creeping back. This causes us to sink spiritually. But what happened? Verse 31. Immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? So immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand. This shows that when Peter cried out for help, help was offered immediately. Another verse about that is back in Psalms, chapter 46, verse 1. The hand is a picture of one's ministry. A tie-in for that, Numbers 16, verse 40. When we put out our hand or ministry, and we put that in Christ's ministry, we can be spiritually lifted up. We can be given strength to be able to withstand the pressures of the world. We can be taught the same words that Christ used in his ministry. God can give us the assurance and faith we need to dissolve any doubts. We need to put our hand in Christ's hand. We cannot do it alone. So the question that Jesus asked him was, Wherefore didst thou doubt? And this is a good question for us to ask ourselves. Why do we doubt when God has always been there for us? Hebrews 13:5 tells us the same idea. Also 1 Peter 4:19 and 1 Thessalonians 5:24. We can trust in God because he has always been there. Verse 32 says, And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. So, how did they get back to the ship? Well, they must have walked on water. When we're joined to the ministry of Christ, we can continually keep our way above the confusion that is in the sea of humanity. And it shows that the wind ceased. Peter got back to the ship where it was safe. Jesus promised that we could have rest for our souls in Matthew 11:29. The wind ceased, showing that the false doctrines and ideas of the world do not have to affect us anymore. We can truly have peace of mind. Just as Noah was saved by building an ark that lifted him above the flood of waters, we can build a spiritual ark in our minds that will keep us from drowning in the sea of humanity. This ark, which is a picture of God's mind, is a place of safety. In that, we can look to Proverbs 18:10, which tells us that the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runneth into it and is safe. We can also look at Psalm 119, verse 117, and Proverbs 29:25. We can get God in us and have that security and calm in our mind. As we mix our faith with God's words and exercise them in our lives, God will give us what we need to keep our heads above water and be saved. Praise God for that. Verse 33 says, "Then they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, Of a truth, thou art the Son of God." This shows that the disciples were awestruck by this power. When God spiritually lifts us up, we too can have a profound respect for his power. For other verses on this topic, we can look at Psalms 4, verse 4, Psalm 33, verse 8, Ephesians 1, 18 and 19, and also Ephesians 3, verse 20. Maybe we would like some other scriptures that show that God wants us to rise above the cares and troubles that we encounter in our daily life, and that we can have our way, or our walk, which is symbolic of our way of life, in a deeper depth of spirit. Habakkuk 3:19 says, "The Lord God is my strength, and he will make my feet like hinds' feet, and he will make me to walk upon mine high places," showing our way of life can be in a deeper depth of spirit. Deuteronomy 10:12 says, "And now, Israel, what doth the Lord thy God require of thee, but to fear the Lord thy God, to walk in all his ways, and to love him, and to serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul." So this tells us again that we can walk in God's ways. It's not impossible, even in this world and in this time, to walk in God's ways. Ephesians 5:2 says, "And walk in love, as Christ hath also loved us, and has given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor." So, love is one of the things that we need to have our way of life according to the way God wants us to have. 1 John 1:7, "But if we walk in light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin." So again, walking in the light, light is symbolic of truth, and we can have our way in God's truth. 2 John verse 6, "And this is love, that we walk after his commandments. This is the commandment, that as ye have heard from the beginning, ye should walk in it." So if we really do love God, we will walk or have our way of life according to the commandments that God has given us. We won't allow sin to have dominion within our minds. 3 John, verse 4, says, "I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth." So John, the apostle, was thrilled when he found that the people that he had preached to had their way of life according to the words that he had taught them. Romans 6:4 says, "Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that, like as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life." So just as Christ had a new life in a deeper depth of spirit, we too can have our way of life in a deeper depth of spirit. All things can be made new for us in a deeper depth of spirit, no longer being subject to an old man or an old way of life within our mind. Romans 13:13 says, "Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying." So we can have our way of life honestly. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, "For we walk by faith, not by sight." So this again shows our way of life is according to the faith that we have in God and in his commandments. Galatians 5:25 says, "If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit." So if we profess to live in the Spirit of God, we can also walk or have our way of life according to that same Spirit.